Sprint cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifieds, World of Outlaws, archives, it's all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, famed short tracks. All the way to the high banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
Here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, good evening, everybody. How are you tonight? Man, oh, man, have we got a program lined up for you tonight. Speed Weeks 2019 is well underway. And man, oh man, we got a great looking Daytona 500 coming at us. The World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing is all heating up. Things are flying at Volusia County Speedway. It is truly good to be a race fan at this time of the year. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr. here in the RTR studio. Junior, what do you think so far of Speed Weeks 2019?
Man, we got a chance to sit back and watch some Fan Choice TV and watch some New Smyrna action. Night number one coming from the half mile down there in New Smyrna Beach. And, excited is the number one word that used down in Speed Weeks. But, so far we've seen a bunch of stuff that has been relatively tame up until the clash today.
Right.
You know, everything was relatively tame at New Smyrna, night number one. Of course, night number two got washed out. But, we took in the ARCA race. There was a little bit of shenanigans towards the end where they tore some stuff up. But really, one of the tamest ARCA races that we've seen.
Oh, yeah.
And all the way through the clash, right up until the end, when the entire field got wadded up. But, it's been good so far. I would definitely give everything that I've seen so far an A-. I think that there's more to come. The duels are going to be exciting, I think, but I'm really excited to see what took place and what takes place with the super late model division at New Smyrna Speedway. So far, there has been two guys obviously stand out, and that was Carson Quapel and as well Derek Griffith. Those two put on a whale of a show. Of course, it ended terribly night number one, but with both of them spinning around in one or two. But
but
so far, it's been great, and the racing has definitely been some hard-nosed stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be dynamite. Let me tell you who we got coming on the show tonight. We're going to kick it all off with the ARCA Menards Series winner from Daytona. We got Harrison Burton going to join us live here tonight. Following Harrison and talking about his big victory last night, his debut, I might add, at Daytona. We're going to have Dave Franks on this program. Dave Franks, of course, everybody knows Dave. He is a photographer here in Canada on short tracks. And Dave Franks has probably been to your local speedway, no matter where you are. I can just about guarantee Dave Franks has rolled in the gate. And Dave Franks is going to be inducted into the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame. Dave's going to join us here tonight. We'll also hear from Tracy Hoskins, boots on the ground at New Smyrna Speedway. Tracy is there. She's going to give us a report from the pits at New Smyrna Speedway, and we'll check right in with Trace tonight. We'll also hear from, how about owner of Humberstone Speedway? We got Dave Bittner going to join us. He's a year-old racetrack promoter, now heading into year number two, I believe, and we'll catch up with Dave on this show. And we'll check in with Alex Labbe. Alex ran full-time in the NASCAR Xfinity Series last year. This year, not so fortunate to have the ride, Junior. He is working his way through the ranks again at New Smyrna Speedway. I might add, he's staying sharp. He will be back in Xfinity at some point here.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. It'll be really interesting to catch up with him, obviously. There was lots of rumors swirling around that he was going to be back full-time in the Xfinity Series, but doesn't look like it's going to be a full-time effort. But I wouldn't doubt that you see that that 36 car on track with old Labbe behind the wheel eventually as well. It'll be interesting to see what he gets up to here north of the border.
Sure.
You know, he's obviously a NASCAR Pinty's champ, you know, he competed in one race last year at Trois-Rivières. Might even see him back in a Pinty's car. So definitely excited to see what happens and where he lands. And I'm really looking forward to this show tonight. There's a lot of heavy hitters on this show.
Well, wait no longer. Let's get to the hotline and let's welcome in. How about that ARCA Menard Series victor? Yeah, we've got him, the winner. We got Harrison Burton with us. Harrison, what's going on? How you doing, bud?
I lost my voice last night. I was so much intolerant, so I'm sporting that all day today and haven't been able to talk very well, but it's a really cool experience, and I'm glad to be on the show.
Oh, dynamite stuff, Harrison. We've watched you since the day you strapped into a race car. Had you on the program a number of times. Man, it's so cool to see you go to victory lane at Daytona. Hard work pays off, kid, and it's all starting to come.
Yeah, for sure, man. You know, I've been working really hard over this offseason trying to get my body right, my mind right, and you know, learn as much as I can about all the speedway racing and do as much film study as I can. So to have all that pay off and in my first attempt is really cool for me. You know, I really relish that experience, you know, of going out into the unknown and figuring it out as we win, and then, you know, just becoming confident enough to win by the end of the night. It was really, really, really cool for me, and I am really pumped about it. But like all race car drivers, after a win, I give myself about a night to celebrate and enjoy myself, and then today is back to work. So that's just how our life is. We are always wanting more and always more hungry, but this is definitely one I'll remember forever.
Well, a couple things I know are going to stand out in your mind. Not only the checkered flag flying on that flag stand, but kissing the Italian man. You kept the tradition alive.
Yeah, that was something new. I've never kissed a man before. But,
well, that's the only one you're allowed to kiss. But, man.
Yes, I think so. Yeah, that's the only guy I'm ever going to kiss is Bill Venerini. Hopefully, this is a long-standing tradition that every driver's had to do it, so I couldn't let him down. I had to go and do it. But yeah, there's something about it, man. That feeling of winning and you know you're in a state of mind where you would probably do just about anything. So that was the least of my worries. I was more excited about getting that checkered flag.
Absolutely, Harrison. Obviously, you know your background speaks for itself, and what you've been able to accomplish through you know the super late model ranks and basically everything that you've strapped into has came with success at the end of the day. Talk to us a little bit about the feeling at Daytona versus the stuff that you've done in the past. Obviously, you're no stranger to going fast and getting stuff done, but that drafting thing, it seemed like you were basically a duck in water. You took to it very quickly, but talk to us about the dynamics you know, versus your super late model and truck program to jumping in and finally hitting Daytona.
Well, it's very different, you know. Like you said, there's so many different things that go into it, and it's more, you know, I think of super late model racing and short track racing that I've done in the past more as a physical thing, and you know, it's you wheeling that car as hard as you can and low grip scenario, and then you go to Daytona and it's a mental game. It's all about strategy. It's all about blocking the right line and making the right move to block people's drafts or bring your teammates up with you. So. You know, we just had to transfer my mindset from, you know, from the mile and a half and mile and half mile tracks where you're just going as hard as you can and driving and then going to this is more like a game of chess at 200 mile an hour. So, you know, that's something that's really cool, I think, about Daytona is you have to be a good driver, obviously, to control the cars in the draft and to side draft properly and to do all that thing. But there's such a big mental aspect into it that a lot of people overlook.
We're with Harrison Burton tonight. Yeah, that guy, the guy that won at Daytona just less than 24 hours ago. It's just something to see. Harrison, you got to be good at those games and, you know, chess and whatever way, you know, everybody looks at it. But practice makes perfect. Victories gain momentum, and that's a good thing. You're heading into a big truck race coming up this weekend, right? You're going to be in the trucks on Friday night?
Yes, sir. Yep, I'll be there. I'll be racing the 18 Safe Fight Auto Glass Toyota Tundra for Cobbish Motorsports for the whole year this year. So it was a really good way to start off the year. I had my truck crew chief, Mike Hillman Jr., there helping me on my ARCA car and helping us at Venerini Motorsports get that thing ready and get my abilities ready to go and win that race. So me and him built a lot of momentum. That was our first win together. So we're looking to add a lot more on the truck side of things. So, you know, there's definitely no better way to start a year on the you know, ARCA and NASCAR side of things than with a win.
Harrison, one massive thing that we do on this program is we do spotlight sponsors in a big way. And we like to, you know, put a spotlight on people who do marketing right. And you are one of those people. You've had Dex Imaging on your race cars and trucks and basically shopping carts, if that's what you were racing. Dex Imaging has been on everything that that you've strapped into, and you've done a wonderful job for them. But the biggest thing is the retention side. You've had them on for a very long time. How have you been able to do that? You know, for guys that are looking at super late model racing in Canada or in the upper Midwest or across the country in the United States, you've done a wonderful job of keeping them and having them on the side of your race vehicles. How have you done that?
Well, I think the biggest thing is building a relationship. You know, it took me about a year and a half of talks with them to finally land the deal. They're really smart businessmen, so they're really careful with what they invest in. And racing is a big investment nowadays, so it took a lot for them to kind of make that plunge. But as soon as they did, they were all in. And, you know, once we built that relationship, it's really fun for them, right? They enjoy it. They bring people out to the racetrack and all that. And I think that's the biggest thing is making it fun for them. You know, you have to... You know, if you watch a race and you know someone that's involved in it, it's so much more fun to watch the race. So you have to become friends with them and you know, learn to talk. When I started when Dex sponsored me for the first time, I think I was 13 years old. So that was hard for me to go in business meetings and stuff then. But to just walk in there with confidence, they're people too. I think that's the biggest thing. And then once you get a deal, make sure that they're happy and you should be willing to do just about anything for them, because without them, you couldn't do it. And like you said, they've been on everything from my first few late model races to winning at Daytona. It's been a crazy ride for sure.
Yeah, you've done a dynamite job. You got to have results, too, to retain those sponsors. And, man, you're kicking them out. You've always done it. But, man, this is a great start to 2019. I know your heart is in short track racing. That's where you grew up in polishing your craft to get to where you are. Have a look back now that you are the ARCA winner. Look back on your career so far. What's been the most valuable tool that you've learned to get to where you are today?
Well, I think for me the biggest thing that I've learned is just to be yourself, right? And that's true for everything on and off the racetrack. If you find yourself in a position on the racetrack where everyone's telling you to make a move or everyone is saying that you should do a certain thing and you know in your heart that you're going to do the other thing and you want to do the other thing, you know, you have to stand up for yourself, because as a young guy, it's going to be easy for people to tell you exactly what to do. But I've been racing since I was 5 years old, so I know what's going on and I have a good sense of things, and in the race car you get a better sense than out of it. So for me, I think being true to yourself and making moves that only you would make, not other people would make, is the biggest thing, and that's true for off the racetrack. You know, just don't try and be someone else, be who you are.
Dynamite advice, and really good on you for being able to be where you are today and recognize the different nuances that it takes to get there, because there's no doubt today, you need to, you got to have a good package put together, but you definitely have to know what you're doing behind the wheel of that race car, and you proved it. You've got a bright future in this game. You can see it coming. The short track, New Smyrna World Series, that's where I've been used to watching you, down there at New Smyrna. Are you there tonight? Are you hanging out? Is the rain falling? Or how about the K&N race?
No, so I'm actually back home. I drove home. My girlfriend and her family drove all the way from North Carolina to Daytona to watch that race. And they were there, and then I drove back with them and drove back to my house. And now I'm home, and I got to go to school tomorrow morning. So I'm still full-time in high school, which really takes up a lot of my time. And I'm really busy doing pretty much all those things combined. So for me, I'm back home. I would like to be there. I like the racetrack, and I love New Smyrna. That's where I kind of I think I learned a lot of lessons in New Smyrna and won a lot of races there. I love that racetrack. So I wish I was there. I wish I was racing tonight. But, I got to try and do it all. I'm a senior in high school, and I want to finish that and hopefully go into online college after that.
Yeah, awesome stuff. You got to have the numbers, right? Not only in the car, but under the car. They all pay dividends down the road, and good on you for sticking with it. I know the only way you wouldn't be in a car at New Smyrna was to get your butt in a car and take you far enough away that you couldn't reach the steering wheel.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's the only way you could pry me away from that place right now, is to be so far away that it's not possible. So. I'm right with you, man. I love short track racing, and like you said, that's kind of where my heart is. I love the kind of one-on-one kind of scenarios that short track racing brings, and bumping and banging and clean racing but hard racing at the same time. So I miss that, and that's still a big part of my career right now. But it's really cool to be experiencing things like Daytona. It's definitely a lifelong dream of mine to race there, and especially win there.
Harrison, one final question for me, and it's more of a I just want to hear your reaction. But what was it like qualifying the truck in the rain at CTMP last year?
Challenging.
I was standing right beside your dad, and you came through the first lap, and I turned and looked at Jeff, and I said, "Man, he's not scared."
No, he can't be scared. I was not scared. I was flying around a little bit too much to be fast, but that's all right. It was fun. I know that much. And that's the one thing that I love about this sport is even when you're not the fastest on the board, if you're driving hard, it's a lot of fun to try and wrestle those trucks or cars or whatever you're in. So I love that. I loved it. It was a lot of fun. I love that racetrack up there. I'm excited to go back and hopefully run better this year. I feel a lot better about myself as a road racer going into that. So I'm pumped. I'm ready to go, and hopefully we'll do it on the dry this time.
Yeah, hopefully it's sunny for qualifying day next year.
Incredible. Always a good one. Tickets are on sale, I might add, for that Silverado 250 weekend at CTMP coming up later in the summer, in August. But you want to get your tickets for that. They are on sale now, and you can count on Harrison to be in one of those trucks on that track. Harrison, Friday night, under the lights at Daytona, the new Gander Truck Series. You got the win in ARCA. You got the momentum. What are you going to need to go back to victory lane now, kid? Because you got it ingrained in you.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I think now we just need to go back and act like nothing happened. We can't go there expecting things to just fall into our lap and us to win another one. We have to go and work for it. That's an even more competitive field, in my opinion. The Truck Series is a step up. It's a step up in the ladder for sure, and man, I'm excited. I'm so excited to go back and try and repeat. The odds of winning two races in a row at Daytona are very slim, but I've beaten the odds before, so I'm ready to go and try it again for sure. I love that feeling of no one thinking that you could do it again, and then going and hopefully proving them wrong or working to prove them wrong. So we can't take anything for granted. We're gonna have to go down there, work our butts off to have a truck good enough to win, and then. If we get that, and I think we will with Kyle Busch Motorsports, then it's game on, and I think that we'll have a shot at it.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, my money's going on you, kiddo. We'll be doing the DraftKings, and we'll be finding somewhere where we can lay a bet, because I think it's going to be a safe one this time around at Daytona. So cool to see you with the win, kiddo. You did it. Congratulations. And I know we look forward to Friday and all week long, seeing you test and tune and getting things ready to go for Friday night under the lights at Daytona. Fans, if you can be at Daytona, be there. But if not, you'll have to be like us poor guys up here in Canada, and we'll have to watch it on FS1. Harrison, thanks so much for the time tonight. Good luck, and tomorrow's going to be a special day at school, I can guarantee it.
Yes, sir. Hopefully, you know, I can get my makeup work turned in for tomorrow. But we'll see. I didn't do too much of it tonight. I was enjoying myself and kind of relaxing a little bit. So really excited to go back and hopefully win that truck race. Got a lot of work to do yet, but we can do it.
Well, just so everybody knows, the smell of beer tomorrow at school on Harrison is coming off of his hat.
Yes.
It wasn't Harrison.
It was all Gatorade. I got sprayed with Gatorade. Good.
Good deal, buddy. You have a good one. Thanks so much for your time. We can't thank you enough.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
You bet. That's Harrison Burton. He won the ARCA Menard Series. That's the new title now. It's the ARCA Menard Series. It's not the ARCA Series presented by Menards. Mind you, I will be putting quarters in the jar, but at least I'll still have the names right.
Hey, yeah, it's not, you know, it's not a full change. Now, the one thing that I'm going to struggle with is the Gander Mountain Truck Series, or the Gander.
Yeah, just
the Gander Outdoor RV Truck Series.
I am just going to be calling it the Gander Truck Series, like probably everybody else in America and Canada.
Yeah, I mean, it's still the Camping World Truck Series, and it's still the Craftsman Truck Series. Really, like when you look at it, it's just so hard to keep your finger on the pulse. But man, could you imagine walking into high school after winning at Daytona?
Yeah. Yeah, can you? Harrison's going to have a day tomorrow, I'll tell you.
Oh, absolutely.
There'll be chiming the bells. There'll be announcements. There'll
that's
be all kinds of
that's
stuff.
That's definitely cool. That kid is so talented. You know, looking back, we've seen him race numerous times in person and, you know, in super late models and even the pro late model and things like that. And just the kid is astounding. And he's not there because he's got a name. He's there because he is talented. Well, 150,000,000%.
I'll tell you what, and they hold his toes to the fire with everything.
Oh, 100%.
And I can tell you, I was sitting on the wall at New Smyrna Speedway a couple of years ago. Harrison was there. I don't know whether it was his first time or maybe his second time at the World Series.
Yep.
Qualifying's going to begin, and the rule is no man over the wall while the car's on pit road. And I'm sitting on the wall down near the exit of turn four, so you know kind of where I'm sitting, right? Sitting down there, cars are getting ready to go on the track. Nobody on the track. And I'm sitting there, and Jeff was sitting there. And I want to say there's one other crew guy sitting there. And we just sitting on the wall. We had our legs over the wall. And didn't matter for me. I'm Race Time Radio. But someone picked up that Jeff's legs were over the wall. And they bounced Harrison.
Yeah.
You can't have a crew member over the wall. But he wasn't over the wall. He was sitting on the wall.
Yep.
But he got nailed with it. So what I'm saying is, don't matter whether you're Harrison Burton and your dad's Jeff Burton on NBC. That don't matter. That don't matter. Here are the rules. Everybody's going to play by them.
Yep.
And it was a mistake. It was petty. But got to hand it to him. In that situation, I know Jeff got pretty hot.
Oh, yeah.
To voice his opinion.
Yes.
And rightfully so. And I can remember Harrison saying, it's okay, settle down, don't worry about it, we'll get him.
Yep.
And you know what? If I remember correctly, the kid drove through the field and won that race.
Yep.
Yeah, dynamite stuff. He's good.
You know, looking while we're on the topic of rules at New Smyrna, you know, there was the number five car, Larry Miller. Larry Miller, the five car and pro late model, he went out there and stomped the field on night number one.
Oh, yeah.
Haley Deegan sent out a tweet that was, you know, it ruffled a lot of feathers within the industry, basically calling out Ricky Brooks.
And it was a Super 8 motor.
It was,
a Big 8 motor.
Yeah. So they allow a couple of different rules packages at New Smyrna in the pro late model division just simply because of, you know, up in the Midwest and then as well in the southern states, there's some different rules. So they mesh a little bit of stuff together. But, you know, Ricky Brooks is the hardest tech guy, you know, on the face of the planet.
He's probably the smartest tech guy on the face of the planet.
I would, you know, definitely... you know, put him there you know, all the respect in the world for him because he calls it the way that it is.
And he's fair.
He has changed the way that New Smyrna operates. in my opinion, and he's changed the way that a lot of other super late model races operate as well. You put everybody into the same box. You know, it used to be back in the day, a team that would show up, you know, and they would get a little bit of graces here and there, and they could do whatever they wanted. They could soak the tires and, you know, do a bunch of stuff and get away with it. And Ricky Brooks came in, put an end to absolutely all of the BS that takes place. And for anybody to call out, and this is me calling out Haley Deegan, but for anybody to call out Ricky Brooks, you can call him every name in the book because you got teched out, but, you know, I think he's
the
got,
rule.
Here's the
rule. You
exactly.
broke it, yep, and yep. Ricky holds and the toes to the fire.
He does not back down, and, you know, good on him because he is fair. He does, you know, he watches the race, and he sees what is happening with the car, and then does tech based on that. A lot of tech guys just, they, you know, at the beginning of the night, they say to themselves, I'm going to check carburetors tonight. And that's just what they check.
Right.
Now, if the guy goes out there and is dragging the nose off the thing and there's a ride height rule, then Ricky Brooks is going to check ride height. You know, he's going to check that portion
Something.
Of the car.
Yeah.
He's not going to check carburetor just because at the beginning of the night, that's what he decided to do.
Yeah.
He might still check it.
He's
but,
watching. Yeah.
You know, if you look like you've got way more motor than everybody, then he's going to check your motor.
Yep.
If it looks like he's, you know, he takes a look at the, you know, the fundamentals of the race and attacks everybody with the same knife. You know, you can't ask for anything other than that. So.
And you know how Ricky did it? I've interviewed Ricky a number of times, and I asked him about what makes a good tech guy. And Ricky Brooks told me what you do to be a good tech guy, for all the tech guys that listen in out there, is you take one piece of the car, one piece, and you study that piece. Study it as much as you can, and then go and check that piece.
Yes.
And he said, you will be an expert at that one piece because you did your research. You did your homework.
Exactly.
Go after that one piece. Now, go after the next piece. Yeah. And he said, you break the car into sections. You study each piece and get the most knowledge you can. And that is the best way to become a respected tech guy and go by the rule book.
Exactly.
He said, don't go by what's in your head or what's in your heart. Go by what's in the rule book.
Yes.
And he said, away you go. And he said, you can do it too. He said, anybody can be a good tech guy. Here's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Not everybody's that committed.
There's a measurement. There's a figure. There's a part number. There's all those things that are listed in that book. You know, it's hard to nail down what you're going to look at.
That's right.
But,
and there's got to be an element of common sense.
Exactly. There has to be a large element of common sense.
Yeah, there does. He's loaded with it.
Loaded with it.
We're going to hit a break. When we come back, we got Dave Franks going into the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame. And man, are we excited to catch up with Davey. We're going to do it next here live tonight on Race Time.
This is Tony Stewart, and you're listening to Race Time Radio. All right. Come on now.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win!
Wow. It's unfiltered 24/7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey, baby.
Hear rare interviews and performances.
Oh,
live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Race Time Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
It's Race Time Radio.
Just don't want to have fun. Yeah.
And we are back with you live tonight on Race Time Radio. So glad you can tune in here on Sirius XM Channel 167, Canada Talks. Or maybe it's through the week and you've tuned in, I might say, to 98.9 XFM out in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Or how about the guys at PerformanceMotorsportNetwork.com? Great, great channel. Click on that and have a listen. I think you'll really enjoy it. Or Gearhead Country Radio. And don't forget, you can always get the show if you missed it and you want to have a listen at your leisure. Just get to iTunes. That's right. We're available in iTunes, absolutely free. Click on it, subscribe, like us, do whatever, and download the show and enjoy it. And we sure hope you do. And welcome aboard. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr. And we're going back to the hotline. We're going to bring a staple. I call this guy a national treasure. His name is Dave Ranks. That's right. He is the photographer. He is Canada's photographer, and he has been coast to coast here in this country, a lot of stuff down in the United States as well with NASCAR. Let's welcome in Dave Franks going into the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame here in just a few days. David, how are you tonight, buddy?
Hey, fine, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
Dynamite stuff. Dave, Speed Weeks. Let's first of all start there, and then we'll get into the Hall of Fame stuff. But let's start with Speed Weeks, because you've been a staple at Speed Weeks, at least our whole lives, probably for a long time.
Yeah, Joe, it's been a long time. I would say back 1980, 81, and I'm missing it right now for the fact of about this Motorsports Hall of Fame. I didn't care to come back from Florida just for that. So there you go. I'm staying home and missing it so we can do what we got to do up here in Canada, and I thank the people for that.
Dave, you must have been born with a camera somewhere close to you, because you are you've captured so many Canadian motorsports and specifically stock car racing moments over the last, 50 years or so. You're the guy that's got the history of everything. What's it been like through those years shooting not only local short tracks here in Canada, but, man, you sat with Dale Earnhardt Sr. and Bobby Allison and you name it. You've been with them and shot those guys as well back in the day. What's it been like?
Well, it was it started out with a big bang, and it's still a big bang. It was a big deal for me, and pretty much from day one, because went down and went right to Daytona, and that's when it all started. And I think really what helped, Judy gets on my case now and then about my name. And when I went there the first time, I had Dave written on my shirt. Not Dave Franks. I just had Dave on all my shirts. So when I talked to one of those drivers, obviously they know who I was, and I had the same thing at home. It's that photographer that wears his hat backwards and et cetera. And no. The drivers don't know who he is. So right off the bat, that was an asset to me when I was talking to Buddy Baker or Cal Yarborough or whoever it was, Yeah, they had their names on their uniforms, I did the same thing, and that was an asset to me. So That was a big bonus, I believe, when I was especially out of the country.
Personal branding, right? It's you know, you've had a brand, and you've built a brand in all forms of photography in motorsports, you know, the golf cart as well. I think that is an extension of your personal brand. It's not a short track race here in Ontario without seeing a red golf cart with a big long lens attached to it.
Yeah, exactly. And one more thing that's red, and that's the red licorice. And Joe, Joe, that started at your racetrack, believe it or not. It wasn't your racetrack at the time. I don't believe it was. No, it was Mr. Bennett owned the track,
yeah.
I believe, before that, Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce Bennett.
And I went to Sylvia and got some red licorice at the souvenir stand, and hell, I can't eat all this stuff. So here we go. So I'm handing it out to drivers going over to Victory Lane. Here you go. And, you know, as of late, I just go to Victory Lane at Flamborough, and I walk up to the driver, give him the checkered flag, and take his picture as I'm taking it back. Here's a licorice for you in case the promoter here, John Caselli, and believe me, 100%, you're going to get paid. But just in case he don't pay you, don't say I didn't. Here you go.
Too funny. So that's where it all came from. I know I have frequented the golf cart and had lunch, so to speak, with Dave many times, ate some of that licorice. You've always got it on board.
Yeah, well, that's the first thing. We either Judy's going shopping on Friday night, and don't forget the licorice, and if she does, it's pretty rare. I just stop at the local Loblaw store and I grab a few bags, and I just want those people to know I don't eat all that stuff. So many people come to the, where's the licorice? And they come up to me. I don't even know who they are. Where's the licorice? Right there. It's here somewhere. You'll find it. And Bill Zardo is a big one for that.
I don't even ask anymore. I just walk over. You'll be talking to somebody. I'll walk over and grab the bag and steal a piece every single time. I bet I've ate 10 bags of licorice off of your cart.
Oh, Joe, you're exaggerating a little bit, but probably.
Over the years.
You've known me that long. There you go, Joe. But no, it's a big thing. And that last guest you had on was down at New Smyrna?
No. Harrison Burton was at Daytona. Actually, he was back in Charlotte. They had to get him out of there, or he would have been at New Smyrna. No, he won the ARCA race last night. He's back in Charlotte.
Right on. Because I remember Ricky Brooks when he first came over there. And not to go back on that, but Mr. Bruce Bennett's son, young Bruce Bennett, asked me if I can get a picture autographed down at New Smyrna for him of Gary Blue. And I says, sure, no problem. I go home, make the picture, and I take it down with me to get it autographed. And so this is a Ricky Brooks story, sort of, okay?
Yep.
And so anyway, I don't have my golf cart down in the States. There's no need for it. You know, so many people I know, and I'll use yours. And so I took Kirk Hooker's four-wheeler.
Yeah.
And I'm running around looking for Gary Blue. Can't find him. Oh, he's parked over the hill. I go up there. No Gary Blue, but I found where he was. I go back down into the tech area at New Smyrna, and I ask someone there. I says, you see Gary Blue around? And he says, he's right there. He's pointing at the car that's on the scales.
Yeah.
And there's 2 feet hanging out of the car. Okay, so, or 2 legs, whatever, 2 feet, and I go over, and he comes out, and I says, Gary, how are you? He says, okay, Dave. He says, right now I'm pretty busy. He says, first day of racing, and I got caught cheating already. Oh, but it doesn't end there. So he says, what he's doing, he's pulling the box out, because his car's not going anywhere, okay? He's dealing with Ricky.
Right,
so
right.
Guess what? He says, is that your buggy there? I says, well, at the moment it is. But he says, well, can you push me back up over the hill? I says, no problem. I push him up over the hill. And now, what did you want done? I says, Mr. Bennett from up in Canada, Bruce Bennett Jr., he wants your autograph on this. He says, yeah, no problem. And thanks a lot, Dave. Goodbye. There you go.
That was the end of it.
That's cool. New Smyrna, Ricky Brooks, Gary Ballou story.
I'll bet. Well, there's a million of them, but we've only got so much time here tonight on Race Time. I know we could talk to you, Dave Franks. Guaranteed, if not one or two shows, solid right from top to bottom, we could do it. I can guarantee it. You got a million stories, but you got to tell us the story, the memory you've got of Dale Earnhardt Sr.
There's a few of them, but I, okay, I've got one here. I phone up Kalamazoo, Michigan, and don't know the promoter. Tell them who I am, and I've got souvenirs that it, back in the day you had to buy them. If you wanted souvenirs, you had to, you could only get them NASCAR stuff from a racetrack. But they started companies up, and Earnhardt started his, and so on. But anyway, all, there's a ton of NASCAR drivers. Bobby Allison, Dale Earnhardt, Rusty Wallace was there, Kyle Petty, they were all up there. So anyway, it starts to rain, and the promoter says to me, Mr. Franks, can we use your van so the drivers can go to the garage area? Because it was about 11:30 in the morning, they were doing autograph session. I said, sure. So Dale jumps in my van on the driver's side, Bobby Allison on the other side, and there's Davey Allison in the back seat with my wife is back there, too, with two birds in the cage. So anyway, I'm not going to bother Dale. He's already behind the driver's seat, so I take a snapshot of it, or I'll call it that, and I go around the driver's side. I say, Dale, when you're ready to go, go. Dale looks up on the top of the van. It was a custom-made van. It was my first cell phone. He looks up, and he sees the telephone up there in the CB. He grabs the telephone receiver, and he says, here, Bobby, and he hands him. He says, just like your airplane, phone home.
I'm too funny. Yeah, back in the day, you would have had the phone up there, right, with the big wire on it and everything.
Oh, yeah, the battery weighed as much as the phone, but I had it built into the compartment up over the driver's head up there in the van. But anyway, that's a good Dale Earnhardt story.
And it was only $30 a minute.
Yeah, back then it would have, and Earnhardt would have just mashed the buttons.
Absolutely.
This is fun.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to say move over or whatever, just so I says, I'll walk over, and that was good, but it was all good. It was, I ended up buying from Dale's company. It was either Sports Image or Corporate Image. I forget which one it was, but It was a good ride.
Pretty cool. I'll tell you what, when Junior was a young guy, of course, he's doing all his die-cast collecting, and he had all kinds of memorabilia, still does. He's got a great collection. And Dave Franks was down at Daytona, knew he was down there, maybe Charlotte. You're probably shooting at Charlotte. Anyway, I said, Dave, you got to have something that's kind of cool. Bring something back for Junior. And what did you bring back but one of the million-dollar nobles? And sure enough, he gave it to Junior. That's got to be a memory.
From Talladega. It was, one of the noble dollars that would fall out. So Dale Earnhardt won the million-dollar bonus from Winston. It was when they had the noble challenge. So the roof was, they had the orange, orange numbers and fluorescent orange spoiler. And if they won it, then they emptied out all these bags of money, and it was like print. It looked like just a green dollar bill, all the pictures of the drivers on them. And you brought me that. You brought me that, and it's proudly in my collection with a little frame in it.
Well, I'm happy for you.
Thank you very much for that. By the way,
excellent. Yeah, it's been an excellent ride. It's been a good ride, and. I hope it's not over yet, that's for sure.
Not even close, David. You're going to be inducted into the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame. I don't think today we would even know who Junior Hanley was or Don Biederman or any of those big names. Dave, you took those photos. Not only took the photos, but you took it upon yourself to make sure that places like Wheel Spin and, later in life, Inside Track started up and PRN. There was all those magazines, and Dave, I know you got photos to those guys and who it was and what was taking place. You were promoting Canadian racing. You've done that for a long, long time.
Yeah, I sure have, Joe, and I know Wheel Spin News and whoever was here. There was, I think Mike Gear started one called Stock Car News, and there was some others, but I supplied more Americans. I probably did a half a dozen Americans, regular Speedway Scene, Mark Times. They're all gone now. And I miss old Val Lejeune, of course, from Speedway Scene, but I supplied all those people, and that was a big deal. The Canadian part was easy, but I had to get them to the States, and I did that, and it was like an honor to me to be able to do that. And naturally, I'm doing Canadian racers, and you mentioned about the Hanley and Biederman. I don't know if the fans want to know how did Junior Hanley get here, because if it wasn't for Biederman, That's how it happened. Biedermann was down there, and when he won Oxford 250, the Oxford, the same year, he went to Riverside, and he won down in Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
You know, he says to Junior, it wasn't that time, but one particular time he's down there, and Biedermann's doing his thing, and Junior's the hot dog down there. He says, Biedermann says, where do you race? He says, here. What do you mean here? I just race here. Well, why don't you come to Ontario? We can run four nights a week, maybe five if we're lucky on a long weekend. And the Junior, how can you do that? Well, Donnie explained it to him. Well, on Wednesday night, we'll go to Gainesville, Ohio, or wherever we're going to go, and we'll run there. Then on Friday, we'll go to Mount Clemens, Michigan. On Thursday, Mount Clemens, Michigan. On Friday, cross to go to Delaware. Now, it's Sunday. Where do you want to go? You want to go to Flamborough? Do you want to go to Barry Speedway? Junior loaded everything up, and I mean everything. And those two both worked together out of Biedermann's shop and for quite a while until the romance was over.
The competition was on.
A new romance, Joe, for the race fans.
Yeah, pretty wild. David, do you know what? We got to hit a break. Can I get you to hang on with us, and we'll pick up again on the other side of the break? Can I get you to do that?
I'm hanging here, Joe.
Okay, now things are going to get quiet for you. Don't worry. We didn't disconnect. You just stay there, and we will be back with more with Dave Franks. We'll talk some Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame, and that's where David's heading. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Pete Becknell from Maryville Speedway, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
The NFL is on SiriusXM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the SiriusXM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win!
It's unfiltered 24-7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you closer.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
And we're back
with more Racetime Radio.
We are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in. You found some time to tune into Racetime. We sure do appreciate it. We are on the hotline right now with Dave Franks. He is a Canadian treasure, if you will, a photographer here in Canada that has truly gone coast to coast. He's been down in the U.S., done a lot of shooting in his life, and he is going in to the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame, and he's with us on the hotline. Dave, this has to be an honor for you to be named and going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. What's the feelings like?
Well, Joe, it's it's a big time honor. I'm very honored and I'm humbled about it, and I really appreciate the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame for creating this new whatever you call it, new program, new venue, whatever it is, which it's not just about race car drivers. And Mr. Norris McDonald said to me, who's with the Toronto Star and a writer for a long time, and he's inducted into it, it's for promoting the sports. It's for the journalists, for the writers and the photographers, and that really makes it a big deal, because I'm very honored.
Yeah, a lot of people, Dave, throughout your career, there's no doubt, there's a lot of people that play roles in our lives. Who are the people in your life that have really helped you along to get to where you are today?
Well, I guess one of the first persons was Tony Novotny down in Florida in 1981. He was very impressed with me, and Al Blight from Barry Speedway was another one, the owner, and little later on, Bob Barron, who was with CarQuest here in Canada and was affiliated with the racing, and he moved on to the United States, and when he went down to Raleigh, North Carolina with CarQuest, brought Dave Franks with him, so to speak.
And, isn't that cool? That's a cool story, and he would get you to go down there and do a lot of photography for CarQuest too, right?
Exactly, which was and pretty much, yes, it was the CarQuest cars, because they came on board, and I'd done that for the duration of that. It was a big deal, and I'm really grateful to them. I'm grateful to Flamborough Speedway, any racetrack that allowed me, and even the American ones. I would just call up, and I couldn't believe it. Yeah, I'm Dave Franks. I'm a photographer. I'm coming down. I've got some souvenirs to sell. How much do you want for a parking spot? That's what I would say to them. And whether it was Bob Harmer down in Nashville, Tom Curley, or Rex Robinson, Mr. Franks, you just get down here. We don't want anything from you. You just look after us with photos, and everything will be good. And that just made me, I'm going to a foreign country, so to speak, and guess what? They just made me feel at home. These were promoters. They were dialed in.
Yeah, pretty amazing, isn't it, Dave, when you look at back through the years? And you can look back, and you're going to spend a lot of time looking back on what you've been doing, but it's not going to be too long. You've got to start looking ahead again, because you are the official photographer for the APC series amongst the whole pile of other duties throughout the course of the racing season. You got a busy 2019 coming up still.
Exactly, and Mr. Car, oh boy, here we go. I just got a call from Luke Ramsey just a couple days ago. That was this week, and Dave, we'd be honored to have you back as a photographer for our series, and thank you. That's into that conversation. I'd be honored to do it for you, which is kind of good. It gives me 10 races that I'm committed to, and after that I can go where I want, and Judy and I can maybe go somewhere and relax and get away, but I can guarantee you I'll be at the races.
You'll be at a racetrack somewhere. I can guarantee it as well.
Exactly.
Dave, what's the most prized photo that you believe you have taken?
The most prized photo that I've taken is a picture with Donnie Biederman and his mother. And that was about 1963 or 64. Or 73, 74, I'm not sure.
Right.
It was the year after I won the pace car at Pinecrest Speedway. That was the most prized picture, because his mother had never seen him race. He already won Oxford 250, so there you go. So I took her to the races, and she goes over to Donnie, and what are you doing here, Donnie? And that's my most prized one. And the second one was the following year, when his dad had never seen him race. Now, his mother, now I took him to Barry Speedway, the Canadian 100, and Donnie won the race, and there's his dad in awe, never had seen him race, and he's already a hero.
Isn't that
so to us here in Canada? And he did his thing down in Oxford and down east. So I asked I says to Mrs. Biederman, I says, go over and get the trophy off the car because Donnie stopped and he didn't get off the track. He stayed there because he's got to go to Tech.
Yeah.
And he knows second and third are there. So he gets out, two trophies on the roof, there they are, and a lineup for autographs. Donnie ain't going nowhere, and he knows that. He's got all night.
Yeah.
they got to wait for him. So he's signing autographs. I says, go get the trophies. And Charlie Biederman, Donnie's dad, says, I can't do that, David. Those are Donald's.
Yeah.
And I says to Mrs. Biederman, Evelyn was her name, I says, I think you should go get the trophies, because if you don't, the first person that looks at them, or a young lad that says, oh, is that what you won? He's going to pick it up and give them to him. Donnie doesn't need the trophy. Donnie needs the money. And Evelyn says, we can do that. So they start to walk to the back of the line.
Right.
I take three steps and, whoa, where are you going? Just go around to the front, pick up the trophies, and stand there with them.
Yeah.
That's my keeper, because...
Isn't that?
We're not going to get into any more of that, the Biederman's family story, but
yeah.
That is my most prized for the reasons.
Isn't that? That's too cool, David. Incredible. What you have done for this sport, what you continue to do, is simply amazing. I know fans, listeners can catch you. If it's a big race in Canada, I can guarantee you Dave Franks is either at it or dead. One or the other, he will be there. Dave, we have genuinely enjoyed your time tonight on Racetime Radio. We sure do appreciate it. We congratulate you on the induction that's coming up. Just couldn't think of a better guy. Dave, you're a treasure, and we really appreciate the time, my friend.
Joe, thanks for having me, and thanks to all the well-wishers that I received congratulations from. I want to say thanks to them.
Absolutely. Dave Franks, you have a good night, and I know you and I will be talking soon, buddy.
Thank you, sir, and I hope to see you down east this summer.
Absolutely, will do. That is Dave Franks. Cool junior that he goes in to the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame, and he isn't dead.
Deserving.
Isn't that cool?
Fully deserving. He's, Dave Franks is... He's been a friend of our family for a long time.
Always,
and, yep. Looking back on it, some of the memories of just seeing him, take photos down south and things like that. One of the coolest memories that I have of Dave Franks, we were at New Smyrna. I was probably like 9-10 years old,
if that.
And Junior Hanley was racing. He would always... Dave Franks would always come up and sit with us just briefly in the grandstands and, just to touch base. And then he'd run back down and get photos. And he'd get photos from Victory Lane and all of that great stuff. And we're watching the super late model race, and it was like four to go, and Junior Hanley was starting fourth. And Dave Franks was like, if Junior wins, you just stay with me and you're getting your photo taken with Junior Hanley. And I was like, okay, that's really cool. And sure enough, going down the backstretch, it was Wayne Anderson was leading the race, and he got squirrely coming off a two. And Junior kept it pinned on the high side, and he even scraped the wall, making the pass, took the lead, and he ended up leading the last five laps and winning the race. And Dave Franks sprung to his feet, and he said, come on! And my little legs couldn't keep up to him. I stayed right with him all the way up to the gate. And they're like, no, we can't allow you to go down. He said, this is Junior's nephew.
Yeah.
Long story short, I got my picture taken with Junior Hanley and Victory Lane at New Smyrna.
Yeah, by Dave Franks.
Yeah.
Isn't that? That's cool. We're going to throw back to Toronto right now, get you up to date on some news. They got some stuff happening there. And we are going to be back for hour number two. And on the other side... We got Tracy Hoskins. She's going to join us live from New Smyrna Speedway. We'll get you a World Series update right from the grounds, as long as she's not underwater. She may be somebody else or somewhere else, but we're going to check in with her. Stay with us, everybody. Hour two is coming up, and we want you to hear it.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on, come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Plus side up, plus side up.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing the race leader off too!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, just like that, just like it's magic, hour number two begins here on Race Time Radio. We got some great guests coming at you. You're going to really enjoy this second hour, I can guarantee you. But let's get to the hotline, shall we? And let's bring in Tracy Hoskins. She is down at New Smyrna Speedway. She's our boots on the ground this week. And she's having a good time, I do imagine. Tracy, how are you tonight, chick?
Hey, I'm good. A little bit wet. It's raining here, but it's good. Ah. It's good to be in Florida and out of the snow.
Yeah, no sunscreen required today.
Not today. The first couple days, yes, definitely.
So it's not officially rain out yet, right? Just still wet, and they're working on the track, or what's the conditions?
Yeah, so they brought in two of the Air Titans from Daytona to help dry up the speedway. So those guys are out on the track right now attempting to dry. It has stopped raining for the time being, but another cell looks like it's going to move in about the next 20 to half an hour or so. Don't know. From what I understand is they have to throw the green flag before 11 o'clock if they want to get it in tonight, but there's no official word on if it cancels tonight, when the K&N race will be.
Well, it'd be difficult, right? With the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing at New Smyrna Speedway, it's the 53rd year, I do believe, and it is nine nights of solid action at that short track, so it'd be kind of hard. When they get rained out and it's one of the World Series races, well, then they can do whatever they need to do to sort of lay it over top or cancel it or do whatever. But with the NASCAR K&N Pro Series East race, it is a season opener for those guys. Somehow, some way, we got to get that race in.
Yeah, so I'm not sure exactly what their plan is. I mean, I know that we rained out last night for night number two, unfortunately. The K&N guys got their practice in, and as we were about to put our super late models out on the field to practice, it started to rain, and they called it late last night. So those guys, I don't know what we're going to do for those nights. I know that the sportsmen had their big 50-lap race scheduled for last night. That'll be rescheduled for this week sometime, too.
Okay, let's talk. We'll talk general first here, and then we're going to talk about the 84, because I know you're kind of embedded with the 84 team. But let's talk on a general purpose. What have you seen so far in Speed Weeks? Anybody sort of stepping out over the line and grabbing your eye saying, wow, didn't see that coming. Going to have to watch that individual.
There's a lot of great racing. I mean, the car counts have increased this week over past week, so it's really good to see. In Super Late Models, it's odd to not see Stephen Ashy here. And, you know, Ty Majeski, those guys are usually up front runners, Harrison Burton, in past Speed Weeks. And, you know, they've won championships here. And, unfortunately, they're not racing this week. So that's kind of interesting. But Carson Kvaapel, him and Derek Griffith, they got into it. Intentional, I don't know. It depends on kind of what video you watch. But they got into it night number one, unfortunately, and those are the top two cars. So they didn't finish the race, but I think those guys will be the ones to beat for the rest of the week.
Yeah, well, and you know what? Junior and I watched it on Fans Choice, kind of one of those calls. Both guys were going hard at it, and you got to know that 35 was a little bit loose early in the run. Yep. So I didn't know whether that played into it. I'm right along with you. You can't really tell what happened. But the feeling in the pits, what's it telling you happened?
Well, 35 says that, you know, he got in there a little bit too hard. From the 12 team, you know, it was just racing, and he wasn't really sure why he got parked for the night. But the race director said in our driver's meeting, if you can avoid a caution and you bring in a caution, you're going to get parked for the night. They don't want to tear up race cars on the first night because we have eight other nights to race. And they wrecked a lot of good cars at Kern County on a restart. So they don't want to have to do that here at the World Series.
Yeah, don't blame them at all. You know, watching the action in super late model racing at New Smyrna Speedway through the World Series, I think back a couple of years ago, and all of a sudden, midweek, who do we got but Stephen Wallace shows up with his Jesco car. Who else? Like, there's lots of guys that all of a sudden make a surprise appearance. I was texting back and forth with Stephen Nassi just yesterday to say, hey, didn't see you in the lineup, buddy. Where are you? He said that the races aren't paying enough, so I'm not going to be racing this time around. I said, can we expect to see you at the 100? Well, he did not throw that totally out and say no. He did say, I'm probably not going to be racing this week, but that was a probably. So how much you want to bet we're going to see guys like Stephen Nassi show up out of the blue halfway through the week, Junior?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's definitely a normal thing to see some surprise names pop in. You know, over the past years, you know, you look back and see the teams like KBM, you know, show up for the big show at the end, and you know, usually for the 50 lapper and as well for the 100, and then as well you've got a bunch of local talent there as well that don't necessarily run full time during speed weeks, but pop, you know, in for a handful of races. So you know, it's normal to see, you know, a 20 to 22 car count in super lates down there, not necessarily on night number one, though. And
right.
And that's definitely, you know, surprising to me. One big thing that does stand out, you know, and talking to a few guys that used to go from here in Canada, the pay problem is there. And I think that New Smyrna is addressing that, you know, as the years move forward with this. I believe that there's going to have to be a little bit of changes there on the payout side of things.
Right, right.
Just simply because, you know, you used to be able to go down and you know, spend 20 grand for the week and race. But now, if you're going to do a full week's effort in super late, you got to roll in there with 30 grand cash in your pocket. Plus, you're going to spend, you know, an additional 35 to get ready for it. So it's going to cost you about $65,000, no matter how you cut it.
Well, it's
to
like a
run.
Season, right? You're running nine nights
Absolutely.
In a row. Tracy,
Absolutely.
Modifieds are going to roll in. I know we have the Florida Modifieds there now. They're doing a dynamite job. Simmons looks good. A number of those guys do. But we got the big Modifieds rolling in, the NASCAR Whelen Modifieds. It's going to be something else. It sounds like there's a lot of cars heading there.
They have a lot of cars there. And I mean, they just raced at Brompton last night, and they had a good showing there, you know, preparation to come into Speed Weeks here. So their car counts, they're going to up the ante, and there's going to be a lot more cars in the field as the week goes on, for sure.
Well, Ryan Preece, here he is qualifying his Cup car. He's going to be in the pits at New Smyrna, you can guarantee it, inside one of those Modifieds for every waking moment that he's not in that Cup car.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, a lot of these guys use Speed Weeks as preparation for their season. So they can come down here after being off for a month or two, come down here, race nine nights, and that's their practice for the rest of the season. They're getting back in the car, they're handling all that kind of stuff, which I think, you know, it's great. I mean, if you can come down here, we don't in Canada have that opportunity where you can spend a week racing every single night in preparation for our race season. Unfortunately, we're off from October until May, whereas these guys have the opportunity to come here, down here and do that.
Yeah, long, long off season, really. If you can get down there and bolt yourself into one of those cars, pretty cool. We have Nicholas Noggle from the East Coast driving the 08. I know he's got a super that wasn't on the racetrack. He's been concentrating so far on the Pro Late. We've got guys like Jerry Artuso down there driving the 5. He did really good job in that sportsman race and then came back in the Pro Late race. He's looking good this week. Who else we got down there but the 84 team that you are sort of tied in there? How are things looking? I know we got Alex Labbe going to join us, but how are things coming from a team side?
So far, so good. I mean, he flew in because Martin wasn't able to come down here and race the car. So Alex is flown in to drive the car until Martin can get here, if he can get here, unfortunately, from work. But it's good. I mean, they struggled a little bit with the car, changing a bunch of things. You know, yesterday we changed over the shocks and the springs and all that kind of stuff. Unfortunately, didn't get to practice the car before the rain came, so we'll get out there to practice tomorrow. But, you know, we started at 18th in the feature there, and we finished 10th, and only, you know, the only car to pass us was a car that we had already previously passed. So, I mean, it was a good showing. Top 10, can't really complain.
Yeah, good stuff. Sounds like Chris Mitchell's doing a good job on top of that box.
Yeah, him and Greg, you know, they're quite a team. The knowledge that they have between the two of them is just unreal, you know, to listen to them speak and to listen to them, you know, connect with other racers and other, you know, car owners and stuff like that down here. It's just the wealth of knowledge that the two of them have is pretty spectacular.
Was that your first time spotting at New Smyrna, Tracy? Had you ever done that before?
Not at New Smyrna, no.
What was it like?
It was interesting. I mean, it's a fast track. I also ended up hooking up with Jerry Artuso and did his sportsman and his pro late model race on night one as well, because he's a two-car team, or two-man team, I should say. It's just him and Rusty down here, so they needed somebody else, so he asked me if I'd go up there for him too. So, I mean, it's interesting. It's a whole other world. It's a big track and a lot of fast cars, and, I mean, to work with somebody like Alex it's really honoring. He's worked with the best of the best in the NASCAR business, and you know, so for me to be able to work with him is quite an experience, and I'm really enjoying myself.
Yeah, that's the stuff. That's the way to do it. Good for you. And you'll be adding a lot to that team, trust me.
Thank you.
Yeah, good stuff. When we look at the different competitors that are there, do you know if we're going to see those wing sprint cars back on there? Are they on the schedule at all through the week?
The sprint cars are actually on the schedule for today with the K&M Pro Series. I haven't been at the track recently just because of the rain, staying away. So just keeping tabs on what's going on there through my guys at DGR. So I haven't really watched a lot of practice there, but I believe they were on the schedule for today to race with these guys.
So it's going to be a busy time. What race are you most looking forward to that's still to come this week?
I was really looking forward to watch today's race, actually, to go down there and see that talent. I mean, there's a lot of rookies in the field for the K&M Pro Series, and, you know, it's going to shape out to be a good race whenever they eventually get this race in, because, I mean, it's going to happen. It's NASCAR, so I don't predict that they'll just cancel it completely and wash it from their schedule. So I'm excited to see this race when it actually unfolds. And then our big races at the end of the week, you know, those are always the races to watch, and I'm hoping that we have a lot of cars left to be competitive and watch good racing.
We're with Tracy Hoskins tonight. She is our in-race reporter down at New Smyrna Speedway. She is there for all nine nights. Tracy, I know you're real good friends with Augie Grill as well. We've seen him in the Modified. We've seen him in the Super. How are things coming along for Augie? He looked a little bit shaky in the Super. Doing what he's doing, but it looked like the Modified was treating him better, but it was only night one. How are things coming for Augie?
Yeah, so he's actually not racing the Super. It is Pro Late Model, but those aren't actually his cars. They actually belong to Rick Polero. He's out of Texas, and so the Modified is a BMS chassis from there that Augie has repaired, and then Augie, obviously, he had built the GART car for Rick in the Pro Late Model, so Rick had asked him to come down and race them for the week. I mean, it's been a hot minute since he's been down here to race at New Smyrna. I mean, he's been down here to race, and he's won the Governor's Cup and stuff like that. So, I mean, he's enjoying it. He's having fun. In the Modified, you know, he put out some really fast times in practice and sat on top of the board for a long time there. But for whatever reason in that race, he couldn't run a faster lap than what he had practiced in. So they have their homework to do this week, and same within in the Pro Late Model. They finished fourth in both races, actually. So, I mean, they have their homework to do and just, you know, their new cars, shaking them down, figuring out what setup they need and all that kind of stuff. And I think for sure that they'll be there at the end.
Well, if anybody can figure it out, it's Augie Grill. It's going to be exciting, I can guarantee you that. The talent lineup that we see down there this year is amazing. Really cool to see.
Yes, it's great. I mean, I was watching Haley Deegan race, and she, you know, in that Pro Late Model, and she's a wheel girl. I mean, she's the real deal, I think. She has put on a great show. She's great around that racetrack, and I really enjoy watching her race.
Yeah, it kind of looked like Hooker's number, like from a few years ago. When I seen that 38, now it's got Monster on the side of it, but when I seen that 38, couldn't help but think of my old buddy Hook.
Yeah, and she, you know, she's a great person. I got to meet her yesterday and talk with her, and she was just an overall great person. She's a great racer. I mean, she's going to go far in the K&M series. Hopefully win another couple of races. I mean, she's sitting on the pole for tonight. whenever they get this race in, as they are based on qualifying time. Or sorry, they're going off practice time today because they canceled qualifying. So she was fastest in practice, so she'll start on the pole. So you never know. She finished second in the race in the Pro Late model, so she has a very good chance of, you know, coming home with a win in the K&N Series too.
Yeah, there's a carrot for you, right? Be fast in practice in case it rains. Boom, you're on the pole. Good one. Tracy, this has been great catching up with you. Good job down there. And I know we look forward to keeping up with you all week long. You keep putting photos to us and stuff, and we start getting it out on Race Time. We sure appreciate all you're doing for us down there.
Always. Anytime. I'm always here.
You betcha, Tracy. You have a good Speed Weeks. Have some fun, and we'll look forward to more.
All right, I'll keep you up to date with what's going on tonight.
Keep Greg under wraps as well down there. Just make sure that he's working hard.
He's working hard, staying hydrated, and he's actually
hydrated.
Right now.
You got your hands full, I'll guarantee you, with that group. Thanks so much, Tracy.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, back to the pit area she goes at New Smyrna Speedway. Speed Weeks, we're missing a junior, but you know what? With Fans Choice .TV, at least we get a chance to look in.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, it's such a great event every year, and really the style of racing is you know, it's festival like. You know, just being there, being on the ground at New Smyrna. You know, everybody is there for fun, number one.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, there's a lot of fun things that happen. Obviously, great racing. You know, there's some always hard-nosed competition, and usually, you know, feelings get hurt when you race somebody nine nights in a row.
Right.
You know, it's not like you find a second during Speed Weeks, right?
So, oh, no.
So what ends up happening is you end up racing around the same group of five cars for the entire weekend. It doesn't matter if you're slowest or if you're fastest. It's just the way that it is.
Yeah, there's group, right?
Exactly. So you're always around the same type of group of cars, and that's one thing, you know, that really stands out from my experience at New Smyrna is that you end up racing the same guys over and over again. And then especially once the points, you know, shake out.
Yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
In the Supers, it's a little bit different because it's heads up and time trial based. But, you know, once they start lining you up in the based on points in the pro late models and the modifieds, it's, you know, you just end up racing the same group every day for nine nights. And eventually, feathers are going to get ruffled.
I thought I heard at some point through that first day broadcast that this year they were going to draw, a fan was going to draw a pill.
For the invert for Supers. And,
right.
And they're going to do that. They're going to continue to do that.
I don't know how high the number is.
I believe it's 12.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's 1 through 12, and then that's your invert. So,
takes me back to the day watching Junior Hanley and guys like Teddy Christopher that were running, you know, the race before, the race after, whatever. And they would have to get out of that car and get into the next one before they had to get out there. Sometimes put them at a disadvantage and put them to the back. You'd watch them roll their way back up front.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you look at, there's a couple of guys doing that. Jerry Artuso is a guy that's racing a couple of different divisions that we just talked about. And then as well, Augie Grill doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking back, you know, through the years, there's been plenty of guys that have rolled down there with a pro and a super. I believe you're going to see Nicholas Noggle eventually do that.
Well, no, he's got both there now.
No, I don't know if they're going to be racing on the same night, though.
Oh, yeah.
He mentioned when we were talking to him last week
that he's going to run the 100.
He would run the super on the off nights.
Right, right. You're right.
So, definitely looking forward to seeing what the McDonald, what Austin McDonald can put together.
Yeah.
You know, with that 13 King Racing team, we didn't see him a whole lot during the you know, night number one. I think they were struggling a little bit, but those guys there are definitely going to find some speed.
They sure are. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we've already got Dave all lined up. He's on the hotline. Dave, trust me, we're going to get to you in just a moment. Stay right there, everybody. When we come back, we're going to talk dirt. We're going to talk Humberstone with the promoter. Stay with us.
The action down here has been amazing. I'll have more on the other side of the break.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Discover a place where the sun and the tunes are shining bright.
This is Jimmy Buffett, and whether I'm traveling by land, by sea, or by air, Radio Margaritaville is my soundtrack.
Immerse yourself in a mix of Jimmy's favorite island music, commercial-free rock, reggae, folk, and live concerts to transport you to an instant warm weather vacation.
It's Radio Margaritaville.
Channel 24 and on the SiriusXM app.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, SiriusXM Channel 20.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on SiriusXM.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio from SiriusXM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win!
Wow. It's unfiltered 24-7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Taking you all the way to the track
and back.
It's Race Time Radio.
Sirius XM 167.
Now, here's Joe.
And welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio, live tonight on Sirius XM Channel 167. And we get back to the hotline. What do you say, Junior? We get a little dirty. That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Let's talk some Humberstone Speedway with the promoter, the owner. We got him. We got Dave, I believe I pronounced your name better. Do I got it right, David? Oh, do you know what? It would really help if I put Dave up on the hotline. What do you say? This will work a whole lot better. There you go, David. Helps when I hit the button right.
No problem. Yes, you said the name correctly. Perfect.
Perfect. That a boy. You all set? Action Evolution County's got to have you riveted and thinking, get ready to get out of here, Snow. Let's go.
Oh, I am so ready for some dirt racing. I was out at the track today.
Were you? And how are things wintering?
It was perfect. All the snow's pretty much gone. We did a winter rally today.
Oh, great. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So we actually have it's about a 2.5-mile road course that we line through the property. And we have rally cars from the Kitchener-Waterloo Rally Club come out. And we had about 60 entries this weekend. And they raced for 2 days straight and had a great time.
Incredible. So like endurance racing?
No, this is rally car. Like they actually like Subaru WRX and all sorts of different front wheel drive cars and rear wheel drive cars all competing against each other.
That's cool. You dirt guys always have way more fun than the asphalt guys. Like when you look at it, you know, a couple of the different things that we see, you know, from the different dirt tracks, some ice racing, you know, over in Quebec, there's quite a bit of ice racing that takes place. Obviously, the rally stuff that you guys do, some bus racing at a couple of different spots, trailer races that you guys do. The dirt guys, you guys experiment a lot and use the facility, I feel, a lot better, not just at Humberstone, I mean all dirt facilities, than a majority of the asphalt tracks out there.
Yeah, well, we have a little bit more of a variety. We don't have to worry about hurting the surface as much as an asphalt track does. So I can turn over that surface pretty easy and pull out all the little chunks of fiberglass or whatever it ends up being. So I feel like we have a little bit more leeway with what we do on the track.
Yeah, you do. I'd agree with that. But, man, the amount of hours you guys put into preparing a race surface for guys to race on and fans to watch is simply amazing. You spend a lot of time, a lot of money prepping that track each and every night.
Absolutely. And that's throughout the summer. I usually have a team between 1 and 5, depending on how many people show up that weekend, that we start usually on a Thursday night. We'll start prepping for a Sunday night show.
That's wild. That's awesome. So how many pieces of equipment go into that, Dave?
Well, we're a little bit of a low-budget track when it comes to equipment-wise. We like to spend our money on drivers and fans and having something like a show that's happening.
Yep.
So our equipment is very basic. We can get through with the very basic. We have great guys like Howard Schramm and Al Wagner that help us out immensely on the track prep side. They've been doing it for years and years and years. So we can get away with very limited equipment and still have a great racing surface.
Great. That's cool.
Dave, with Humberstone Speedway, you guys are the last to shut down here in Canada. You've got a huge event at the end of the year. At least I believe that's still in play. No, you took over a year ago or so, but do you still do that big event, and are you the first track to open and close?
Yeah, I'm not the first track to open, and there's only one track that's going to be later than us this year. This year we opened with something we call the Dawn of Destruction. So what it is, it's an endurance race. It's 75 laps of enduro racing.
Cool.
Basically, pull the windows out of your car and go race. It's $3,000 to win this year.
Wow.
And we have special, what we do is kind of like Car Olympics after. So we have a bunch of specialty events after. So we'll do figure eight racing, side-by-side racing. So basically, we're chaining two cars together. A new event that we just released about an hour before the show is called the Humberstone Speedboat Derby.
Speedboat
Derby. What
we're
doing is, yeah, so basically what it is the cars are going to be chaining boats to their cars. And the name of the game is to knock everyone's boat off everyone else's car or be the first to finish 20 laps.
Wow.
That's going to be a hoot. When is that race?
That is April 28th.
That is a lot of
fun. That'll get people fired up in the spring, won't it?
It will be. And it's one of my favorite events of the season because it kicks off our season, and it normally does it in a big way. So last year we had about 90 competitors on a 3/8-mile track racing all at the exact same time.
Amazing. What a great racetrack.
It's a fun little track, yep.
You know, I met Bobby Labonte. I met Michael Waltrip. And I want to say it was it Dave Blaney there that time or not? I was at Humberstone. And
you are dead on the money.
We had a great time there. Little history for you. It was the night after, for Michael Waltrip, it was the night after his big Chicago win, and then he rolled into Humberstone. Man, did we have a great Sunday afternoon show there.
Oh, yeah. And I remember that clear as day.
Yeah.
Well, this year is our 60th season opener. So we'll be around for 60 years, and we're actually going to have a special guest of Kenny Schrader coming in with the UPM Modifieds for our opening night.
That's
nice.
So cool.
Yeah, Kenny, awesome. Kenny will love that.
Oh, yeah, he was super excited to find out that it was our 60th opener, and he is so happy to be a part of it.
Cool stuff. What all you got on the schedule this year for fans? You're going to be racing on Sunday, or are you racing Friday night? What's your night, and what do you got coming up?
Nope, we're Sundays all throughout the summer. So every Sunday night, racing starts at 6:30. Every night, we'll have something special. So depending from sprint cars to something that... So we have 600cc super sprints. So they're kind of like a mod light, but a sprint car version of it. We have our crate sprint tour that's happening. We're even this year doing a team demolition.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen those before,
no,
where you get
no.
three guys together. So you got three guys on your team, and you're going to be competing against three other guys, and then three other guys, and the last team standing wins.
That's amazing.
That'll be cool. Talk about picking on guys.
Oh, I can't wait to see this.
One massive thing that stands out to me, just scrolling through the Twitter sphere, if you will, there's a quick video. The classic event returns, and it's a blindfold race winner.
Yep.
What is that?
So that's during our Eve of Destruction. That's the last race of the year. This year it's September 15th. So Eve of Destruction. Last year, we had the world's biggest airbag firework display. So I have lined up the down the front stretch. We have a wall that we lined up 60 airbags. I linked them all together, and then as the car started to run by, I popped them all off, and it was the world's first airbag display.
Cool. No kidding. Good for you.
So the EVA Destruction has a couple signature events. The one is the blindfold race. So this is where you get to go racing with a buddy. So basically, I'm going to be the driver, and I'm going to have you as my co-pilot. You're going to tell me where to go, but I'm going to have a paper bag over my helmet, so I can't see anything.
All right, see, I'm a spotter. I think I'd be good at this. But the fact that I have to ride with somebody... That I like, so if he hits something, I get hurt.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I love it. Yeah. I love the idea of it. That would be so much fun and fun to watch.
It is amazing to watch. So we had a little over 2,000 people in the stands last year for that race.
Incredible. So for fans to get more information about Humberstone, what's the best place we can point them? And let's talk location, too. So if you're sitting in Toronto or you're sitting down in Ajax, Ontario, or maybe you're sitting in Cambridge, Ontario, how do I get to Humberstone?
Great question. So right off the QEW, you're going to you would be able to follow the 403 directly right into the Port Colborne area. We're located at 1716 Highway 3 in Port Colborne, Ontario. You can go to humberstonespeedway.com, or you can look us up on Facebook. It's Humberstone Speedway. You'll find all the info of what we talked about there.
Yeah, too cool. Are we going to see you by chance at the Motorama show? Are you guys going to be down that way?
Yes, we're definitely going to be there. We'll be handing out... free tickets to people that are coming on by, so I'd be happy to set some people up with some tickets.
You gotta love it. You know what? I look forward to meeting you, Dave. We're going to be at the show. We'll be in and around there somewhere. I'm going to slide by and get a couple words from you. I can guarantee it.
Oh, fantastic! Thanks, Joe.
You betcha, Dave. Thanks so much for the time tonight and tell us about Humberstone. Sounds like you got a great 2019 coming at us.
You know what? It's going to be spectacular. We have a new driver entry. So basically when it's every night that we have a special night, the drivers are actually going to be walking through smoke and lights, and we'll actually be able to walk through the crowd before they get out to their cars. So it's a great fan experience, and I'd be happy to have everyone out.
You got to love it. Awesome stuff. Can't wait, brother. We'll be to Humberstone. At some point, we're going to try and make it out there, buddy. You have a good one tonight.
I appreciate it. See you guys soon.
You betcha. That's Dave Bittner, and he is Humberstone Speedway. Sounds like they got some stuff planned.
I'm going to talk to DJ Kennington, and I think we're going to enter that blindfold race.
Get him on a little dirt, put him in a car.
And I'll strap in and tell him where to go.
Well, that would be cool if you were inside one of those one of those big balls, you know.
Oh, you don't need that.
Airfield.
You don't need that. It'll be fun.
I don't know. It's DJ you're talking about.
Oh, I know.
The car.
It would be a gas.
And if he hits something, he'd turn around and punch you.
DJ, if you're listening, we need to do this.
He'd punch you.
We need to enter.
He'd punch you because he'd say, "You told me to go right into that."
I would tell him to drive right into something. We need to enter that. We need to get a car. And that's that.
That's going to be a big night at Humberstone. You won't want to miss it. Okay, final break. When we come back, we're going to have Alex Lebe on the hotline. Alex, he'll bring us up to speed on everything Speed Weeks. He's driving the 84 at New Smyrna Speedway, doing a whale of a job. Come home with the top 10 finish on night one. Hasn't raced since. But you know the guys will be going to work on that machine, and we'll find out from Alex how everything is shaping up for Speed Weeks 2019 and beyond. Stay with us.
Hey, race fans. Donald Chisholm from Riverside Speedway in Nova Scotia, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Men
Men, Morning Men.
Hi, I'm Evan Cohen, and I'm Mike Babchick. We were given 30 seconds to describe our show, Morning Men, on Mad Dog Sports Radio, so I'll ask you some questions, and you give me the answers. What do we do for fun?
You go to the diner with your family. Me, I drink and forget I have a family.
Biggest crush?
You, Tom Brady. Me, anyone in yoga pants.
What do we want to do more of?
You, talk about what happened the night before in the world of sports. Me, I would like to do more of my wife. I think we just ran out of time.
Morning Men, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Sirius XM 82, and the Sirius XM app.
New to Sirius XM, it's Faction Talk.
Whoa, cut it out.
Lucky us, what a time to be alive.
Mornings with Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
I get tweets every day about how terrible my co-host is, but I don't listen to him.
Absolutely, because I'm the one sending them.
That's Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
Hot takes on hot topics.
That's right, no sloughing off on this radio show.
Live Monday through Friday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, only on Faction Talk, Sirius XM 103. Or listen on demand with the Sirius XM app.
Here's what you missed
on NHL game day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL game day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
More Short Track live, coast to coast, next.
Only on Racetime Radio.
What can I do for you?
My name is Elizabeth Cook. I have a show called Apron Strings over in Outlaw Country.
Okay. I'm
playing a lot of old outlaw country music, cool. A lot of new outlaw country music. Cool. We talk about all kinds of important things, like how to get gum out of the pillowcase.
Shoot, I don't know.
Where do Venus flytraps come from? Do you need a chakra cleanse?
A what?
This is your formal invitation to listen to me, Elizabeth Cook, 10 to 2 p.m. weekdays on Outlaw Country. It's channel 60 and streaming on the new and improved Sirius XM app.
The need for speed.
They're racing door to door in turn four.
Then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
We are back with you on Race Time Radio. How do you like the sound of that lead guitar, Junior?
I'm busy tweeting right
That's
now.
That's Ked. Ked, that's a polar bear tune. Oh, so good of music, eh? I love it. Anyway, we are back with you live on Racetime Radio.
I just called out DJ here.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, like live on Twitter, on the Twitter sphere.
Did you?
I said, driver wears a blindfold and spotter rides in the passenger seat. September 16th at New Humberstone. If we don't enter this, I will be thoroughly disappointed at DJK Racing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wouldn't that be a thing? I don't know, man.
I'm game.
We'll find out what the DJ says. But let's get back to the hotline, shall we? And we'll welcome. Whoop. He's not on that one. Maybe he's over here on this one. Maybe. Well, no, he's not there.
Don't have
him. Oh, there
you go. Don't
have
him yet.
So Sue has not got him yet. But that's okay. We can talk about some other stuff. What else do you want to talk about? Here,
Let's talk about...
How about third place in ARCA? It was a Canadian third spot. You think we would have Grant Quinlan on this show, but we don't have him on here tonight. We are going to track him down and get him on here. He ended up finishing third in the number 30 car. That was Terry Jones' car, so it's a Rhett Jones car. And I do have a little quick clip of him from the media center at Daytona International Speedway after his third place finish in the ARCA Menards Series. Here is Grant Quinlan.
Tagging along there behind Todd and the 28, we got caught up at the beginning there with some debris on the grill, so we had to come down to get that off and kind of set us back in the pack, right? So we tagged along with them three and just picked away, and as the restarts went, we kept trying to get as many spots as we could and not give up anything. That was kind of the key, right? So at the end of the race there, the final restart come around, we were in position to finish third.
Yeah, dynamite stuff. Man, what a talented young driver. And I don't know whether that's the best finish for the 30 at Daytona, but if it isn't, it's real close. Terry may have had a second, But I can't say that for sure.
I think Terry's second place came at Talladega.
Was it Talladega?
Yeah, he always had terrible luck at Daytona. It seemed like every single year, you know, he would get caught up in the big one, or you know, something would fail.
Yeah.
But it seemed like every time that they showed up at Daytona, it was a little bit of a train crash, but not on his doing. He usually drafted right up front and put together a great effort. And you know, the past couple of years there with the addition of Mark Rhett, that team has really turned a big corner. They put together some really nice equipment and good on Grant. He did a whale of a job and he held his own towards the end of that race.
He sure did.
And really, you know, he played it very smart, and the entire race he painted the bottom and really just kind of stayed right on that apron and he played a very defensive game and he came out with a shot at the win. If things would have shaken out a little bit different and they could have got a run together, which I think that they just about had coming off of turn four, it would have been really interesting.
I feel really, 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 really bad for the number 23 of Brett Holmes in this race. Man, that 23 car was sailing. It was up in third spot. Ended up getting tagged by the number 28 of Brandon McReynolds that was in a battle and getting ready to move ahead. And the 4 car of Todd Gilliland ended up getting into the back end of the 28, which hit the 28, which hit the 23, and away the 23 went. It was speedway racing. But it was really, really aggressive on the Forest behalf for about 3 laps. So I don't know. I know you were saying the 28 saying, come on, come on, hit me going.
They wouldn't have been up there if the four wasn't that aggressive.
Oh, so, yeah, it was too aggressive.
No, but it wasn't an aggressive thing. It wasn't an aggressive thing that took him out. It was basically, you know, the bump drafting at Daytona. You're not allowed to lock anymore, right? In ARCA, you're not allowed to. And you know, they were as close to locking as possible just simply because they didn't have the car to draft up there just because the speed was so high from that Venturini car up front.
Yeah.
And you know, the race pace was so fast, the only way to do it was to back drag. And really, Brandon McReynolds was all over the brake pedal and the gas pedal at the same time, but all over the brake pedal, trail braking to keep the four on his back bumper. But the way that the rules are now, you need to bounce off the guy, and if you want to,
but
and you're really good
turn.
At it,
not in the turn or about to go into.
It doesn't
the
matter
turn.
Where.
Well, you shouldn't. You shouldn't.
Technically, you're not.
If
you're not
hit him
to.
Square, you can hit him in the center of the turn, but these guys can't hit square bouncing.
They wrecked in the dead center of the straightaway.
I know.
When you look at where they wrecked, it
you
was
hit
dead
them too
center.
Hard, or you don't hit them square. That's what happens.
But it's, you know, you're trying to bounce off the guy to build your momentum forward, and you know you're trail breaking. The guy in front is trail breaking. The guy behind is all over the throttle, trying to get you going.
Right.
And you know, just the way that it states it in the rule book, if they were allowed to push draft,
23-28 paid the price.
If they were allowed to push draft, no, yeah. it, 28 didn't pay a price at all. He wrecked.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, he paid the price.
But he definitely he
23
paid
the huge price.
I mean, the 28, it was wrecked at the end and the 23 finished. But
yeah,
it definitely created a mishap that didn't need to happen. Right. I think if the rules were a little bit more open where you could push and not worry about not locking bumpers.
Well, then you get back to the 2x2.
I mean, is that such a bad thing?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. When it was 2x2, it was kind of boring, if you ask me, because you had, 5 trains of 2x2. Whereas when they're not allowed to bump draft, you should end up with, like, 22 cars or 23
cars. But you are
allowed
to bump draft. That's the problem.
Well, bump draft, but you can't lock on. You can't lock on. And the 4 car was locked onto the back of the 28 for a long time.
They weren't, though. They were bouncing.
Well, they were saying on the ARCA radio, get off them. Get off them before that wreck. So it wasn't
before,
just me
were,
thinking that.
No, but they were locked on the lap before. And then so they had to switch it up. So then they started doing the bounce draft. And when they're bouncing, it's dangerous because you don't know how hard you're going to hit the car.
So
there's no way to judge that.
You think that it was planned? Do you think it was planned the way these guys are bump drafting and what they were doing?
Well, they were bouncing off of one another because Arca said no locking.
Right.
They drafted from ninth place up to fourth. And like they caught them from
a
1,000 feet back.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know there was a massive gap and they closed right in by pushing, and Arca said no more of that.
Right.
On the radio, they were screaming at them to stop being locked on.
Right.
So the only alternative, if you want to continually move forward, is to bounce off the guy. You have to engage, bump, and then disengage. And then engage again. Well, the only way to disengage is for that guy to release the brake pedal and then touch the brake pedal and release the brake pedal and touch the brake pedal.
Yep, yep.
Well, as soon as you do that, if you pulsate just a little bit and slow down quicker than anything, which is what happened, they caught the guy that was in front, the 23.
Right.
23 closed the gap. And now you got the car behind, the 4, driving, absolutely driving into the back bumper of the 28.
Yep.
Well, it's because he was on the brake pedal to stop. But the 4 is digging. Well, I mean, it looked like there was a gap there, so the rule states that you're not allowed to lock.
Right.
But you are allowed to bump.
Yeah.
And they were both doing everything in their power to drive up to the front to get an advantage.
Yeah.
And, you know, it ended up ending badly, but I'm a firm believer that if they were allowed to lock on the straightaway even, lock bumpers, that wouldn't have happened.
Well,
because you've got the car squared up.
Harrison Burton ended up going to victory lane anyway.
He did end up going to victory
lane.
Good
for him. It was a great race.
Great outing.
Jimmy Johnson, we got to give a nod of the cap to the 48 car. He went to victory lane today in the Clash. It was an eventful race at the end where, you know, you had a guy, Paul Menard, was leading that race in the 21 Wood Brothers car for quite a while. If not all of it.
Yeah, the entire race.
And then he ends up, you know, getting tapped, and kind of looked like Jimmy was going to side draft him, but it did look like the 21 come down, and it was on, and it wrecked like three quarters of the field. Rain came down, ended the race. What was your takeaway from the race? I seen nose to tail, and then I seen pack racing for a few laps. What was your takeaway?
Well, I think that these guys have got so good at getting the cars trimmed out to the point where they are very difficult to drive, but very fast and very sleek. So with the old rules package from last year,
right.
The cars are stable enough, but they're very tricky and finicky when like you need space with the way that the cars are set up.
Right.
You need space around the car because they're moving around so much. You're able to dictate as the leader.
Yeah.
You're able to dictate the size of the hole in the air.
Yeah.
And what it allows them to do is get up top and string out. And I don't mean string out like, you know, fan out and you know, lose positions between the car,
right?
But you know, it makes everybody follow the leader, and you get up top and keep the thing wound up, because if you lift out of the throttle or get out without any help, you're going to be 10 miles an hour slower than everybody.
Yeah.
So you know, it's a difficult package, and I think you're going to see that in the Daytona 500 as well. Everything that we just seen in this race here, in the Clash today, we're going to see again in the duels. They're going to be up top. They're going to be right up against the fence when they do get single file. And I think you're going to see the exact same thing in the Daytona 500, unfortunately, as well. I think the Truck Series and the Xfinity are both going to be just a ball of 32 or 38 cars together.
And going.
But I think at the duels and then the 500 as well, they're going to be strung out up top in a single file line.
Yeah, that could very well happen too. Let's get back to the hotline. Let's welcome in Alex Labbe. He is at New Smyrna Speedway, driving the number 84 super late model and doing a whale of a job. Alex, how are you doing, buddy?
Hey, pretty good. Are you?
Not too bad. I know you're disappointed. You'd like to be about 25 miles down the road on that big 2.5 mile track, but that's coming, right? How are things looking for everything in general for you yourself?
For 2019?
Yeah, for 2019.
Yeah, we don't have nothing set yet. We're just still working on stuff. I think we're. Like, normally, we're probably going to run a couple races in Xfinity and try to come back and in Canada and run some late models or vintage races, and we're just still working on the schedule. But it's a hell of an opportunity I got this week with Tramco and Martin last week to drive his car. It's a lot of fun here. Coming back in the super late models, cars are really fast and they're really fun to drive. So I'm having a blast, even if it got rained out yesterday, and we didn't have a lot of practice on Thursday. We're trying our best, and I think we can be really competitive as the week goes on.
Absolutely. Alex, I got a tweet here from a good buddy of yours, J.R. Fitzpatrick. He said, "Hey, Racetime Radio, ask Alex Labbe if it's exciting running my number, and and he best drive it into the corner as hard as I would. Good luck, dude." That's from J.R. Fitzpatrick, but he's shooting an arrow at you, calling it his number, but it's your number, ain't it?
Yeah, pretty sweet. It's my number.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's a lot of fun. I know JR came here a couple of years ago. I think it was probably in 2010 or 2009. I think he ran some pro late here. So it's a lot of fun. It's a fun week for a racer to go back to back every night and just trying to fine tune your car and trying to get better from day to day. It's always fun.
Well, you qualified 18th, I do believe, for night number one in the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing at New Smyrna in the number 84 Super. And I didn't think you were moving too far, and then all of a sudden you started coming, man, and you worked your way right up into that top 10. Did you find something? Did the car come to you? And I bet you guys, you probably put Chris back to work getting that thing ready to go for the next night you race it.
Oh yeah, for sure. Now we had a horrible qualifying. we missed out on something, and we figured we'd find it after qualifying. But in the race, we were not too bad. I mean, we didn't really have a lot of time to try the stuff we wanted to. So I think we were a little off on the front suspension. We were loading that right front tire a little too hard and burned it on the medium to long run. So we got really tight. But now we made a pretty good swing at it on Saturday morning. We changed all four shocks and sway bar, and we're trying to go in a different direction to get a little more neutral suspension to get the car good on the long run. So we wish we had a little bit of test in it, but we started raining 5 minutes before our practice on Saturday. So unfortunately, we didn't have any track time. But I hope tomorrow we're going to be able to get some good laps and have some good notes and try to work on it and get it better.
Absolutely.
Throughout the week.
Alex, forgive me for this question, but is this your first speed weeks like at New Smyrna full time?
No, I ran a Pro 8 model in 2013, I think.
Oh, yep. Okay.
We didn't finish the week. We caught the tire and killed the car. I think on the Thursday or Wednesday. So fortunately, we didn't do the entire week. But I don't know. This week I was not planning on doing, but the entire week at all. But it seems like we might go in. The old way. It depends on Martin and the situation. But Martin was supposed to come to be here yesterday night, but I think he's only up here on Tuesday night. So I don't know. We're gonna figure. It always changes from day to day. So we might run the entire thing.
Cool.
Well, when you hear that he is about to board tomorrow, all you do is call Framco up and put a big order in, and then that screws him. He has to stay at the shop to fill the order. You get to stay in the car and stay sharp.
Yeah, that's a win-win situation. I mean, I'm really happy that he thought about me and he gave me a call. Even if it was a last-minute deal, it's always fun. Like I said, to come down here and race with the best of the best in short track racing. It's a good challenge, and we got a good bunch of guys, Chris and Greg. We got Sylvan and Sebastian here that are working pretty hard, trying to fine tune it and trying to find some speed in it. But that's the grind. We're just always looking for speed.
Well, I know you're going to land on your feet, buddy. This is going to be a dynamite week. I wouldn't doubt you come away with a checkered flag with that number 84, knowing the way your ability and the crew that's working on that car. And you got a good piece under you. So I wouldn't doubt we'll see you in Victory Lane at the World Series. And I know for sure there is a God. You do work hard at this. Come home 17th in NASCAR Xfinity points last year. You with Mario Gosselin and that whole team. I'll tell you what, you're going to land on your feet, buddy. I know this Speed Weeks is going to be what it is. You're going to come out on the other side of it, and I wouldn't doubt you'll have some announcements. And if you end up running in Canada, your losses are gained, my friend, because you're wild to watch in one of those cars.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, we're working on it. I mean, especially after, like I said, the season we had last year, we want to keep the momentum going. We're just trying to find the right fit for us, but keep working and keep try to keep logging some laps as much as we can.
Yeah, you're going to. And wins. I know you're going to do that, too. Alex, you take it easy. I can't thank you enough for your time tonight. Enjoy Speed Weeks, buddy. And you got to know that all of us up here in Canada, if we're not at the racetrack, we're definitely watching on Fans Choice and pulling for that number 84.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. Talk to you later.
You betcha. That's Alex Labbe. He is a champion up here in Canada, I might add. Just a couple of years ago, he was our NASCAR Pinty's champion. He's got a lot to offer in Xfinity, truck, Pinty's. He's got a lot to offer whoever he gets in with.
Absolutely. And, you know, he's got all the talent in the world. And, you know, the opportunities come for guys like that. And definitely, you know, it proves the value of running that Xfinity deal. You know, he ran an Xfinity series last year full time. Just that experience alone. Look at a guy like DJ Kennington. You know, he put together a year, if not 2 years, with Randy McDonald. And, yeah. You know, he turned a lot of laps down there in a car that was underfunded and undermanned and everything. But, you know, he put that deal together, and now he gets calls from guys to run the Cup car or run an Xfinity car or run a truck. That same type of deal, Alex proved himself in the Xfinity series, and the doors will open up.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to be interesting to see what all unfolds. Got to also remind you, check out LegendNation.com. You can catch live coverage of the Legend cars at Citrus County Speedway all week. So you want to do that, check it out. You got to know that Pit Row TV is down there. We had our buddy on last week, and Tony Stevens, and he is set up, ready to go, and you can guarantee it's going to be cool. You can watch it online. A really, really good production. Tim Terry will be with him. Have a listen. Have a watch. It's dynamite stuff. I also got to tell you, I'm excited for some reasons here. I'm back with Sauble Speedway, helping them out with marketing, and going to help the team out there and try and move the ball ahead for the race fans, for the competitors, see if I can, you know, pitch in and give a hand. So back with Sauble Speedway, and I'm so excited. Can't thank the Griselle family enough, and I look forward to the challenge of that every day brings here in life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of time, a lot of good times, and I can't wait for 2019 to begin up here. But it actually has already.
It is. It's here.
Yeah, it sure
is. It's not 2018 anymore.
Enjoy the Twins on Thursday. Enjoy the truck race Friday night. Enjoy the Nationwide race on Saturday. Pardon me, Xfinity. And the Daytona 500 next Sunday. Joe and I will be back in the studio, and I can't believe we'll be talking about the Daytona 500 win and get you up to date with a bunch of winners from right across Speed Weeks. But that's going to do it for Junior and I here tonight in the Racetime Radio studio. Can't thank you enough, everybody, for all you do in tuning into Racetime. We sure do appreciate it. Tell your friends, share it, tweet it. Let's make this thing bigger here in Canada. We got a lot to be proud of, and you'll see exactly what I mean in 2019. But that is going to do it for us here tonight. I'm Joe Chisholm, along for Junior, and got to thank Susie Q for getting all those guests lined up on the hotline. And how about our friends back in Toronto? Can't thank you guys enough. And we will be back with you after the Daytona 500 next Sunday night. We will be live. You want to join us? We're going to have an outstanding guest lineup. Have a good one, everybody. Enjoy Speed Weeks.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message. message on our 24-hour listener hotline. 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.